Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have sensed His presence in this place. We pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and not just for our church family, but for others who would come through the doors of this church. And I just trust that you have already sensed the Lord's presence here. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Very familiar passage of scripture, which for most who know their Bibles, this is the conversion of Saul. And I believe that the Lord has a message for us from this passage of scripture here this morning. And so if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Acts chapter 9, we're just going to read the first six verses, verse 1 down to verse 6. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, again, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. But as we look into this passage of Scripture, I believe that you have a message for each one here today through this passage of Scripture that we've read. And I just pray, God, that you would help each and every one here to have that ear to hear what you have for them this morning. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. After reading through the entire New Testament many, many times, and I trust that most believers here have done that, you've read through not only the whole Bible, but especially the New Testament scriptures. And as you read through the New Testament, you realize that the Apostle Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. And as we read in these books, we read of Paul's great love for all people. We read of his great love for the Jews, and we read of his great love for the Gentiles, for all people. And we also read of his tremendous sacrifices made. I mean, he was stoned and left for dead, and all sorts of perils, and all the things that Paul went through so that people could be saved. To have an opportunity for the Jews to believe in Jesus Christ as well as the Gentiles. And after reading through all that, then you come back here to Acts in chapter 9 and you read verse 1 and 2. And in my mind anyway, and I would think in your mind as well, you would think, how could he have been this man? How could he have been Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the chief priests, and he desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, didn't matter, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. How could he have been this man? As we read, we find that Saul was a ruthless, merciless murderer. As he stood over the body of Stephen, one of the first martyrs, And in Acts in chapter 26, he even makes mention of that. Acts chapter 26, let me just read it to you in verse 9 down to verse 11. Acts chapter 26, as he is giving his testimony in verse 9, he says this. He says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. When he heard the name Jesus, it just infuriated him. In his own mind, he thought, I want to do everything I can to stamp out anything that has to do with this so-called Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. It would take them and he would agitate them and force them to denounce their faith in Jesus Christ, is what he's saying here. He compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. He had somewhat of abnormal, unnatural hatred in his heart for anything to do with Jesus. Saul did not come from a dysfunctional family, as we find many do go off on weird tantrums, do some strange things in societies today. They were messed up from an early age. Neither was Paul raised to be a terrorist. Acts chapter 22, I'll lay the foundation here. I want you to get this. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. The Bible says, as Paul giving testimony again of his background, of his life, he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. So Saul tells us that he was from Tarsus. Now, very important to understand that Paul was born in from Tarsus, because everyone born in Tarsus was given Roman citizenships. This was a place that when the Rome took over the authority of the nation here, we find that this place in Tarsus was so important that anyone that was born in Tarsus was automatically given this Roman citizenship. They were offered the best education known to humanity. Some of the best teaching institutions were there in Tarsus. He was taught religion by a top religious scholar named Gamaliel. So Saul, now, Saul was Paul's Hebrew name, and Paul was his Gentile name, if you've ever wondered that. And so if I say Paul or Saul, it's the same person. But we find in the beginning he didn't have a Gentile name because he wanted the Hebrew name, and so his name was Saul. Once he became the prophet or the apostle to the Gentiles, then we find that he wanted to refer to himself as Paul, his Gentile name. But at all of this, the one thing that Paul did not have, he was not educated on who Jesus was. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the message, how could he have been this man? In 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 12 and 13. Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Same man. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He had these privileges. Paul was raised in Tarsus, given Roman citizenship. He was offered the best education. He was given the best education known to mankind. He was raised by one of the top religious philosophers of the day, Gamaliel. But he was never taught about who Jesus was. Saul was who he became because, listen to me, number one reason, he did not know God. He was ignorant in his understanding of Jesus Christ. The Bible says over in the book of 2 John in verse 7 down to verse 9, and if I go too fast for you, write these verses down because I want you to go back and study them. But the book of 2 John in verse 7, it says this. The Bible says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." No matter what religion, no matter how they've been taught, no matter how sincere they are in what they believe, if they do not believe in Jesus Christ, if they do not understand the doctrines of Jesus Christ, the Bible says they hath not God. "He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." If a person does not believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, they do not know God. How can you say that, preacher? You're just saying that because you're a Baptist. No, I'm saying that because we just read it. Amen. You might disagree with me and you might disagree with the standards and the doctrines of the Baptist church. You might disagree with that, but can I tell you the very words of God are from Him? This Bible is the very word of God. The Bible tells us heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He says, this is right, that my word will never change. As God is immutable, the word of God is immutable. As God, as I even taught some in Sunday school this morning, the teachings of the Bible will never be outdated. They're timeless. The teachings of the Word of God were given to us by Jesus Christ for New Testament Christianity, and they will not change throughout this church age. They do not change from one generation to the next. As He established it, it will not change. Therefore, the church throughout the church age into the rapture of the church, which has not taken place yet, it's not changed. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Look what Jesus taught some of the Pharisees back in John chapter 8. I want to take you back there. John chapter 8. Because that's what Paul had been taught. Gamaliel was the chief of the Pharisees. John chapter 8 and verse 39. These were religious men. These were those that put their faith in everything that they believed in the Old Testament. Surely you would say they knew God, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ and His doctrine. They did not know God. They even had that very same question in John chapter 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham? Didn't Abraham tell you exactly what God had for you then? But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they saith unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You cannot, because they didn't know God. Ye are of your father. Now write this down. This is not Baptist. This is not this preacher. This is Bible. Ye are of your father, the devil. Preacher, you just offend everybody. Let me tell you something. If I offend you, let me apologize. I'm not in the ministry to offend people. I love people. The ministry is all about people. I've heard other preachers say that if it wasn't for people, the ministry would be a great job. But if there weren't people, there would be no need for ministry. If I offend you, I apologize. But if the Word of God offends you, I make no apologies. Because what people need today is not to have their ears tickled and hear what they want to hear. What people have need today is to hear what thus saith the Lord. No matter if it's politically correct or not, this is what the Bible says, and the Bible is God's holy word. And Jesus addresses these religious Pharisees, and he says, you don't even know God. If you knew God, you would love me. If you knew God, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. Paul, if you knew who Jesus Christ was, you would not have become the man that you became. He became that man because he didn't know God, even though he thought he knew God. He didn't know God. And Jesus took it a little bit farther and said, your father is the devil. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Wow. You see, if you don't know God, it makes you a tool to be used of the devil, religious or not. If you do not know God, Satan is going to work through you, whether you realize it or not. Satan chooses how he will use all those who reject Jesus as Savior. There's some that have a platform that he might be able to use more than others. But he will use you to destroy the home. He will use you to try to destroy the church. He will use you to try to get society to go an opposite direction from the ways of God. People that are writing today because of issues that are against the very words of God, whether they realize it or not, there is a spirit of Satan working to try to take society away from biblical principles and biblical standards. Now listen to me, I don't hate people, and you should not hate people, but we ought to hate the devil. And we ought to know how Satan works. And the only way to defeat the devil is to get people saved where they're not being tools used at the hand of the devil. What an example of the Apostle Paul. How did Saul get to be the man that he was then? He did not know God. Second of all, because Saul didn't know God, he was motivated by the wrong things. If you don't know God, then your mission for life will not be the same as those that know God. If you know God, once you have looked to Him, Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, that changes everything. Because then, because of knowing Jesus Christ, I know the Bible to be the truth. And I know that there is a heaven, and I know that there is a hell, and I know that there is spiritual warfare, and it will continue throughout this church age. And Satan will work hard against the believer, and he will work hard against the church. He will work hard against the will of God being performed in society today. And he will work through those who don't know God. Paul had education, a form of religion. He denied the power of true religion. He had an education. He had a form of religion. He had opportunities. But I think the most valuable thing that Paul had in all that is he had zeal. He was zealous before, and he would be zealous after. He knew who God was. But without Christ, his motivation came from false religion. The terrorists of the world today are people that God loves and wants to have saved. But the terrorists of the world today have been brainwashed by false religion. And because they have been brainwashed by false religion, even from a young child into an adult, they are willing to give their lives thinking that they have some kind of reward in heaven. And they do it in the name of God? But they don't know God because they're not doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't kill people in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't slaughter innocent men, women, and children in the name of Jesus Christ. They do it in the name of a God, but the God that they are doing it in is not the God of creation. The God that in whom they're doing it in the name of is the devil himself, who is the God of this world. But religion is something powerful enough to control a person's life in this world. And we're seeing it more and more. This 21st century America. They don't know Christ. They don't know God. And they'll do some horrendous things in the name of a God, which is the devil himself. His motivation came somewhat through false religion. His motivation came from worldly fame. He wanted to work his way up to be known as somebody in this world. We find that as he went and had zeal, persecuting the church, thinking that if I stamp out this false cult named Christianity, they'll see me as somebody in this world. Making a name for a person's self can totally take over a person because you want everyone else to think that you're somebody. And then fortune. The motivation came from false religion. The motivation in even our lives today can come from a worldly fame. And the motivation for living the way we live can come from this idea of wanting fortune. The Bible says the root of all evil is the love of money. And Satan will use that. Yeah. Each one being very powerful. There's no doubt that Saul had this false religion. No doubt that Saul was trying to make a name for himself. And no doubt in this he wanted to have the things of this world. And his mission, this was his mission for life. How did Saul become the man that he became? He didn't know God. And without knowing God, your mission for life will not be that which God would have for you. Your mission for life will be tainted by all these other things that control persons' lives. And these things are the tools that Satan uses to try to get you to go the direction he wants you to go. Being inspired or motivated by wrong things will drive us farther and farther away from God. What inspires us today? It might help you to see if you truly know God or not. If you're inspired by something that does not consider God and His will for your life, I would doubt whether or not I truly know who God is. And try to see just what is leading me. Is it this sinful nature? Is it spirit of the devil? Or for the saved, is it truly the Holy Spirit of God? How could Paul have been Saul? He didn't know God. And not knowing God, he was motivated by the wrong things. But let me give you a final thought. God loves Saul. God loved a man who was opposing the work of Christ, closing the doors of New Testament churches, taking mothers and fathers out of the home and binding them, putting them in jail, harassing those and working on them to get them to deny their faith, and standing over those who had been stoned to death because of their faith and their refusal to deny their faith, becoming the murderer that he was at that time. But God loved Saul. And he knew within his heart everything he was doing was based on the truth that he didn't know God. Go back with me to Acts chapter 9. God knew that Saul could become a Paul. Even though Saul had become the man that he was at that time. Yeah. God knew that Saul could become a Paul. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, no one else heard it. God was speaking directly to Saul in his spirit. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Trying to get Saul to understand what was motivating him to be the man that he had become. And he said, who art thou? And he says, Lord. The first time that he uses the word Lord, it's referring to God. Who art thou, Lord God? Because now he sees this, he knows it's something supernatural. He knows it's not of humanity. He knows this is actually something that God is revealing to him. And he's looking up and he says, I hear your voice, but who art thou, God? I know you're God, but who are you? He didn't know him. He didn't know the voice of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I've been pricking your heart ever since. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And at that moment, Saul realized that the one he had been persecuting was truly God. God loves Saul. Can I tell you, at a certain time in my life, and over the last couple of weeks, I've mentioned several different things about when I was running from the call of God. I was saved when I was 8. But during that year or so, maybe 2 years that I was running from God, you would not have liked me. I did not like what I was becoming. Anybody that loved the Lord would not have liked who I was at that time. Without going into everything going on and what happened during those times. But I'm just here to tell you that at a time in my own life, as your pastor here today, there was a time that you wouldn't even have liked who I was. But I'm so glad that God never gave up on me. And I'm so glad that God seen within me what that I could become if I would just look to Him. I'm so thankful for verses 3-6. Verse 1 and 2 helps me to understand there's a dark side in every one of us. There's things in all of our past. Everyone has a past. And there's things in every one of our past that we would want no one else to know about. But God knows it. God sees it all. And when no one else would have loved you, God never gave up on you. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling, and if you had done the things against Christ that he had done against Christ in the church, you would be trembling as well, amen, when you realize what you had done was against the very God that you thought you were serving. And he trembling and astonished said, now he knows Jesus, and he says, Lord. And he's, if you will, he's saying, Lord Jesus, what will thou have me to do? A chance to know God. That's what happened. He got to that place where he was because he didn't know God, even though he thought he did. And he had the wrong things that were motivating him in life. And Satan was working through him without him even knowing it. But because God loved him, God allowed him an opportunity to see the light. God allowed him an opportunity to hear from God. Wasn't a guarantee that he would acknowledge the light. Wasn't a guarantee that he would cry out and call him Lord. But he did. And because he did, his life changed. And he would actually be more zealous for the cause of Christ than he was against Christ as a lost man. All because God didn't give up on him. God loved him. A chance to know God, or maybe a chance to come back to him. Maybe today is your chance. How have you become who you are today? Do you like who you are? Maybe today it's your chance to see a light. Today, maybe it's your chance to hear the conviction, the Holy Spirit of God pricking your heart. What will you do with it? If you're saved like I was, maybe it's an opportunity for you to acknowledge God and get back to being the person that God wants you to be, that knows you can be. But there has to be a moment. There has to be a time when you see something you didn't see before. And you surrender to that. This morning, if there's something right now that's pricking your heart, would you allow God an opportunity to reveal to you what he already knows? If you're lost, you don't know God. If you don't believe the doctrines of Christ, if you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know God. Come to know him today. If you know him and you've been blinded by this world, and you're not the person you know that God wants you to be, maybe it's an opportunity to come back. Whatever it might be, if God is speaking to you, don't turn away from him. Acknowledge him as Lord and ask what we have me to do, and then do it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. How could Paul have been a Saul? How could he have? But he was. And I trust you understand how he became that. But praise the Lord. When he became a Paul, he accomplished far greater things than what he ever hindered for the cause of Christ. Wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. What a great testimony of a man whom God never gave up on. If you're here this morning, God hasn't given up on you. Answer the call. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, this morning that you would speak to us exactly as we have need to be spoken to. And as we hear your voice and we sense your spirit pricking our hearts, help us to do exactly as you would have us to do. Answer the call, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.